In Jesus' name, beloved of God, we're reading from John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. How many of you know what is coming next? Do you know that they ran out of wine, and Mary came to Jesus with the problem? Do you remember how he told her his time had not yet come, and she went and told the servants to do whatever he told them? He later told them to fill the jars with water, and when they took some to the master of the banquet, it was wine of the best quality. This, the first of his miraculous signs, revealed Jesus' glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. And although this event is so familiar to us, there are some startling things about Jesus' glory that I would invite you to remember again with me this morning. First of all, it was revealed at Cana in connection with a common event. Not that weddings aren't special, but they are common. Who could count the number of weddings that have taken place around the world just in the last 10 years? Not to mention since God first instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. Weddings and marriages are common, not just among Christians even, but also among unbelievers. The people of Noah's day were celebrating weddings here and there, right up to the time that the flood came and destroyed them all. We might think that Jesus ought to give the first sign of his glory at some nationwide event like the Passover or Pentecost. But no, he goes to a little village, to a wedding reception. And yet what a comfort to us who like to invite Jesus to our weddings, to pronounce his word of blessing upon our marriages. What a comfort to us who like to ask his gracious presence at our meals, as lowly and as common as they may be. Jesus does not despise these requests, no matter how insignificant they may be to the rest of the world. Water and wine are also two of the most common drinks all over the world. It would seem that turning the Nile into blood would bring much more glory, be a much more spectacular sign. And yet Jesus takes the common things of this life, yes, and common people too, and makes them blessings for us and evidences of his glory. Even things which many others have misused and abused, like wine, Jesus does not mind giving to the unnamed couple of Cana. Another startling thing is the timing of Jesus' first miracle. His mother Mary had her own idea of the proper hour for Jesus to help, didn't she? And so do we. When we are in any tribulation, sorrow, suffering, or need, we too would like to see the Christ work his wonder soon, 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 like now. But Jesus knows the proper time to reveal his glory and to send relief, even if we have to wait for that time. In the meantime, let us trust him so completely that, as Mary said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. For he always has our best interest at heart. One benefit of his timing for the marriage couple was that they would have a goodly amount of fine wine for some time, since it was too late for it all to be consumed by the wedding guests. Another thing to notice in this same connection, his glory is revealed in order to help. Jesus' purpose was not to call attention to himself. Not even the bridegroom or the governor of the feast knew where this new wine came from. Jesus' purpose was not to put on a spectacular show. He could jump from the pinnacle of the temple if he wanted to do that. His purpose was to help, and His glory is revealed in order to help us all, from the lowliest to the greatest. What do you think? Can we trust such a Savior? Finally, the glory of the Lord was revealed to be better at the last. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom to ask him why he had saved the best wine until last. It is not done that way in the world. There, the best is served first, the joys, the celebrations. And then it is later that the joy fades, the celebrations are but a memory, the strength turns into weakness, and the stolen pleasures turn to ashes in the mouth. But Jesus' blessing begins in a lowly stable and ends at the right hand of God. Christ's blessings come to the poor in spirit, to the broken and the contrite heart, which recognizes its sinfulness before God, and then ends with the word of forgiveness and the invitation, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The wise men came to Bethlehem bringing the riches of this world to the newborn king. But the glory of this king is that he gives us 10,000 times more than we could ever give him. He gives us a heavenly Father to take us in his arms and care for us forever. Amen. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, and when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. In the heavenly country bright, need they no created light. Thou its light, its joy, its crown, thou its sun which goes not down. There forever may we sing alleluias to our King. Amen.